This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, I've calmed down. It's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle. 710sports.com. This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. The lines are open, too. 206-421-3776. We've got a whole chunk of time here between now and 845 for you guys to weigh in on Robinson Cano. We'll keep talking about it throughout the morning, of course. We will take a little break at 9 o'clock as Brent Musburger joins the show. Kind of a reaction to the whole gambling thing. Doesn't that feel like a long time ago all of a sudden? When we booked Brent yesterday, it made a lot of sense. And then all of a sudden, it's like, gambling, what's that? Oh yeah, Robinson Cano got hit with
that's the beauty of Brent, like so many of these play-by-play guys. Guess what, he lived and called games through the era of the steroids, and probably even called Robbie Cano games way back when he was a Yankee, Mike, when he was a really big deal.
Dude, don't get me started on this whole thing. I mean, I honestly, yesterday the first thing I thought was, oh, this is going to be the biggest story. This is going to be a bigger, I will bet you anything, is a bigger story in New York today than in Seattle. This is a bigger story in New York than in Seattle, because in New York, they will care about his legacy and they will care about the Hall of Fame, and they'll worry that this in some way tarnishes the time he spent with the Yankees and all that, and they're baseball obsessed. And here, you know, look, Robbie, I think has developed a really great connection with the city and with the fan base and all that. But I don't know. Having not been to the playoffs, I don't know that it's quite the same. Would you agree?
I would agree with that. Sure, I would agree with that. And I, in fact, put out a little tweet this morning. Thank you for the emotions in the movie Inside Out. Yes. You knew all four of those immediately.
Of course.
So playing off of that theme of just what emotion were you feeling, if you could pick one to characterize your feelings towards Robbie Cano and his suspension, a couple thousand votes. And Mike, in our market, 50% feel sadness.
Sad. What are they sad about?
50% are sad, 18% are angry, 30% are disgusted, and you sick souls, 2% feel some level of joy.
Well, maybe they're just excited they're going to spend the $12 million on some pitching.
Maybe.
Because that's me a little bit. I don't know that I would have clicked joy, but I think that I could spin it that way. And eventually, if they can win a little bit here, I will feel some level of joy if they go out and spend that money on some pitching. Sad. If you're one of the people that feels sad, I'd like to hear why. Like, which part of it makes you sad? Are you sad for Robbie? Are you sad for his teammates? Are you sad because you just are excited about the team and now you think it's all going to be frittered away and you go right to sadness instead of anger?
I mean, you and I should, as much as we cry these days, we should be leaning into that emotion a little bit more.
I don't feel sad. It's not an emotion I feel.
Because I feel it. My eyes tear up almost every day for some reason.
My eyes tear up, but it's almost never because of sadness. Does that make sense?
What is it?
That's usually more often happiness than anything else,
really?
Or just sort of melancholy over the moment,
heart.
Or what?
Yes.
Like, I don't think that I get very sad. Do you? You get sad?
No, it's
like
not
morose.
No, not like an emptying, depressive. No, but it's just.
Do you guys ever feel sad back there? Like, it's just not. I don't know. I would never answer sad to anything. I just wouldn't.
Well, 50% of the audience feels
I know,
some
so I want to hear from.
And maybe for the team, sad that after 17 years of this plight of not making the playoffs.
Why wouldn't that make you angry?
In a year where things are turning around, you're just sad.
Why wouldn't that make
sad.
You? Huh? You do?
I definitely feel sad about this.
So you would have clicked
primary
on
primary emotion that
my
you feel.
My primary emotion is sadness.
Why?
Because I am powerless. I am powerless to make a difference, and I feel like the Mariners are really powerless as well in this situation. There's nothing they can do to reverse the harm of this.
That doesn't
so
make
it
you
makes
mad.
Me sad.
That makes you more sad
it,
than
yeah.
mad.
Why more sad than mad?
Because that feeling of helplessness and hopelessness, like anger, I can channel into something and do something, but sadness, I just have to sit in it.
You have a platform here to yell about it all you want. What do you need to get to chant? Of course you have an outlet. Go get mad.
Howdy, you're the imaging director. You can do whatever you want, man.
That's
you can
right.
let those things flow, bro.
I'm living my truth, and it's sadness.
All right. 206-421-3776. How do you feel about it, Mike and Edmonds? What do you think?
Oh, I can tell you I'm not sad. I am furious and disappointed, and I'll tell you why. As a former intercollegiate runner and a guy who still runs today, I regard sports as the exploration of the limits of human performance.
Still?
I think that's the basis of all sports. And Robinson decided to cheat that system. Yep. He decided in his own selfish way to take something that he knew was going to be a problem, he knew was banned, and it took it at the expense of his team and Costa's team, and that's a purely selfish act, and it makes me furious and disappointed. And if I'm there when he comes back on the day he comes back to Safeco, I will boo him to the limit of my large set of lungs.
I don't blame you, and I'd boo him that day, too. What about the next day?
Yeah, that, too.
What about the day after that?
You bet.
Do you boo Nelson Cruz?
Yeah, he's Alex
Hold
Rodriguez.
On, hold on. Do you boo Nelson Cruz?
You know, unfortunately...
Do you boo D. Gordon?
Every guy...
No, you got to answer. Do you boo D. Gordon?
Every guy is a little different.
Why? So Why did those guys not cheat the exploration of what humans are capable of?
Maybe he's saying they didn't happen with your team. Yep.
Huh?
In order for me to be a real human being, I have to know their circumstances and why they did it.
Well, do you know D. Gordon's or Nelson Cruz's circumstances?
I think I know some of D. Gordon's story, and I think I know some of Nelson Cruz's story.
Okay. But you don't know Robbie's yet?
No, I don't.
So if Robbie's story ends up being similar to one of their stories, then you wouldn't feel the same.
I might have to tone it down.
Yes.
Okay.
The only part of their stories that matter is that they burned a different team. Yeah. What do I care if Nelson Cruz burned the Rangers?
Totally agree.
What do I care if D. Gordon screwed over his teammates with the Marlins?
Yeah.
It didn't bother me. But now Robinson Cano brought it into our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And now he hurt me. And now it's personal.
And you were mad, Kyle.
Yeah, I was really mad.
I would agree with that. I'm mad at him too, but I'm not mad at him for any moral reason.
Really?
No.
So what if it's? I don't want to. We got
just,
full
I'm
phone
done.
Line.
With
I don't want to take
We've
it there. But I think
with
that's
steroids
easy.
Now for
I think that's
years.
Easy to say and it's easy to write. But if it was your business and in our business, Mike, if someone was cheating the game, okay, and someone was cheating the ratings, guess what you would be. You would be peeved. You wouldn't say, oh, I'm morally okay. It's competitive and they can do what they
but
want.
If,
in
but
their
if
business.
Cheating the ratings was the norm for the last 20 years, I would be a lot less mad.
Well, then that's your cynicism out of that because you think it's the norm. It's not the norm.
Sure it is.
Out of the 25 guys on this roster, you think it is the norm.
Well, of the 25 guys on this roster, three of them have been busted.
Yes, that's not the norm.
But that's.
Okay.
Brock,
that's
more
norm.
Than 10% that have been caught. You think they're the only 10%?
I don't think they're the only, but I certainly do not think they are the norm.
All right, I don't mean when I say the
and
norm.
And I think this
I
game is
that
policing itself. And I think I would agree with Scott Service, and I would agree with TJ yesterday, Quinn. And I would agree that this game is policing. This game wanted it. This game wanted the guys that did it the right way to say, "Forget you, man. You are cheating. I'm trying to do this thing the right way." I had a great chat with Damon yesterday. I won't use the names, but he said, "Gosh, it was crazy." I was talking to one of my old friends. He's a really good collegiate baseball player. And he was like, you know what? I can't do it because every one of these guys playing the position I play all hit 300 and they all are jacked. And it was in the early 2000s. And he's like, I'm just not built that way. He didn't know every one of those guys was juiced out of their
minds. I've talked to guys like that too. I talked to Fernando Vina one day who was in the Mitchell Report. He weighs like 140 pounds.
Yep.
Like, dude, you took roids. Like, yeah, of course I did. I had to stay in the game. Are you kidding me? These guys are all hitting 9,000 home runs. I had to do what I had to do.
Yeah, I don't think that's this game today.
But then Brock, what I got to understand is if this bothers you on a moral level,
sure.
How do you sit down with Nelly Cruz and love on him? How do you sit here and praise D? I mean, those guys did the same thing.
Yep.
So what's the difference?
Yeah, I would say
they did it in the past instead of
today?
No,
I think there is something to be said. If I was doing the show in Texas when that happened, I'd have the exact same feelings.
But you're not mad about the morality then. You're mad because
you
screwed
your team. No, I was mad about
the
reality. Morality. I absolutely 1,000% guarantee you if I was a Miami Marlins sports radio guy or a Texas Rangers sports radio guy in those moments, I would have reacted the exact same way.
Well, the difference is forgiveness.
And also, you'd just be talking about the Cowboys.
And I'm not going to hold this over on Robbie Cano for this day for the rest of his life, and he can't come back. Now, I don't like his reaction. I don't like him lying
still. It was everybody else's reaction.
Because he's still trying to protect his Hall of Fame and not
say
what he did.
Everybody has.
Not everybody.
Oh, please. Andy just about.
There are a few that owned up to it. A-Rod eventually owned up to it, right?
Eventually
they did. And I hope eventually.
The same reaction as almost every guy has had.
I hope eventually Robbie owns up to it. I hope he does.
All right, we'll see. 206-421-3776. How do you feel today, whether it's about Robinson Cano, the future of the Mariners, et cetera? Let's grab John, who's in Renton. John, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, dude.
Johnny. How you reacting, buddy?
You know, I'm pretty excited, actually. I think there's a lot of young guys on this team, and, you know, when we talk about deep lineups, we get a chance to see some of the people that are, you know, hitting 4, 5, 6, 7 step up, and, you know, we'd see Mitch Haniger, who's going to be your three hitter of the future till 2025, step in there and rake. You know, maybe Ryan Healy gets bumped up and sees a few more at bats with guys on base. So, you know, I'm excited for those guys, and, You know, I'm a Seahawk fan, so it's always next man up. So, you know, thanks, Robbie.
It's a little tougher, though.
Yeah. Take a seat. We got it.
I'll admit, I'm with you a lot, John. I'm pretty excited, too.
He's one of the six. I can't, John,
John, I can't wait for a couple of days from now when we can stop with the moral indignation and hand-wringing over this, and we can start talking about who they're going to go trade for to pitch for them and spend that $11 million, $12 million somewhere. I can't wait for that. I really can't. But also, it hurts to lose Robinson Cano. He's a really good player. I mean, like, you got to at least deal with losing him before you can get into the excitement over the shopping money that you now have, right?
I don't know. There's some people wired a little differently.
Really?
Like, yeah, let's go. Like, you're done, man.
I'm doing the best I can not to be like Johnny. How's that? Because I'm wired just like him. Like, oh, Robbie's out, but you save 12 mil? Okay, where are you going to go spend it? Let's go.
Yep.
Jerry, you got $12 million. Where are you going to go spend it over the rest of this year? Who are you spending it on? Mm. Are you going to get, what kind of pitcher are you going to get? Can you find yourself a lefty reliever who can actually get lefties out? Can you go find yourself a player that can play the outfield and be a platoon guy? Is there a starting pitcher out there that you want? I mean, Jerry DePoto asked about this yesterday, and unfortunately the cut doesn't work, so I can't play it for you. But otherwise, I would play you the cut where he says it does free up some of our budget. 206-421-3776. Lydia, fix that. What'd you do? How come you broke it, Lydia? They were all working this morning before the blitz.
Oh,
how come
it's
not working
now?
Yeah. Let's grab Sean in Aberdeen. What's up, Sean?
Hey, good morning. Hey, so I'm at mild indifference or mild concern about the lineup of the Mariners, but bordering on indifference. Just because, I mean, the lineup is deep, and so I think we're going to be okay. But the other thing is I think that this is probably much more prevalent than anyone wants to admit. I mean, just look at the back of the baseball cards. People don't get better in their 30s, and I don't care that how nutritious you are or whatever. As someone that's approaching 40, I can just tell you that your body starts breaking down, and so I think it's a lot more prevalent. What I'm more concerned about is the self-righteousness that people feel that they are entitled to at this point. The people that are saying that they're enraged or whatever on the poll, I just am so disappointed. It's like, just because Robinson Cano's sin happened to be public and made public and splashed on the front page of the Seattle Times, and yours aren't, you get the opportunity to be enraged about someone's mistake. I find that to be more disturbing than anything that Robinson Cano decided to do.
I appreciate that. I would disagree with that, Sean, because I think he hurt a lot of people.
I would also say that, Sean, he gets the opposite side of that too, though, right?
Yep.
I mean, when he does something great at work, it also gets splashed on the front page of the Times and here on this station and everywhere else.
Yeah.
And when you do something great at work, five people know about it. I'm not taking it's not a shot at you.
Well, it felt like a shot.
No. Sean, I'm sure you've done great things at work. Trust me. But they don't put it on the front of the Times. He lives a public life. I mean, that's just sort of different, right?
Right. No, that's fair. I can see that point. But
Sean, I want you to do something great at work today, and tell us about it.
Yeah.
And we will broadcast it to our listeners.
Shout
how's
it
that?
From the rooftop.
We will tell everybody about the what do you do for a living, Sean?
I'm actually a healthcare lobbyist.
Oh, a healthcare. All right. Well, then actually, sometimes when you do get things passed, it does go on the front page.
Disregard. But he doesn't get the credit. He's got to be in the back.
You're behind the scenes
doing all the lobbying.
All right, Sean. Thanks for the phone call, man. Yep. Enjoy the rest of your day. All right. Well, his accomplishments do go on the front page of the
Times. Okay, tough example, but you know what we're saying.
Yep.
Of course. Why wouldn't that be the case, right? Why wouldn't it be somebody who lobbies on public policy? The world will never not find a way to screw
it. And I think I hear, and certainly I do hear this. Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge Robbie Cano with your morals? Well, who are you to judge me for judging Robbie Cano, right?
You and I were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it. And yeah, I'm going to hold him in this regard accountable. Because there are teammates that count on him. There's a manager and a GM in the final year of their deal. They were counting on him. And this was a choice that he made.
And if you get the chance to root for a guy and cheer for him and support him, you also get a chance to be mad at him and disappointed when he screws up.
And if there is a redemption story to this and he owns it, guess what we will do? We will absolutely cheer him on.
I hope that day comes. For our interview in spring training with him next year. Selfishly, I think it'll be must listen radio. I can't wait to talk to him in spring training next year. Chris is in Seattle. Good morning, Chris. What do you feel?
Morning. I'm feeling pretty frustrated, upset, and disappointed.
you know, I'm a born Seattleite, huge Mariners fan, and for me, I'm 32, and this is the first time where Seattle's had a big-time star that they were able to take from the Yankees, invest a ton of money into them, and they failed to live up to expectations, not necessarily in a performance manner as far as not doing well in the season, but getting caught and now out for 80 games of the season. It feels a little personal in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was.
And I think it's something for this. I think it's something for this fan base that we've never really felt before. I was telling Kyle, I think it's the closest thing that I could come to it is the Randy Johnson fiasco and the whole contract thing and all that mess.
You know, we almost felt it. Mm-hmm. We almost felt it with Richard Sherman. Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
but
you know,
the football context.
I know, but I think a lot of the fan base is similar. You're right. It's not exactly the same. I'm not trying to argue with you, but we did almost feel this with Richard Sherman and what happened with him. Now, he ends up getting off and winning mm-hmm. his appeal.
Yep.
I don't know whether that makes him innocent, but it certainly meant that he won his appeal.
Yep.
I do wonder whether this story today would feel different if Seattle had gone through that all the way instead of that kind of disappearing because he wins the appeal. What do you think?
Yeah, that's fair. It probably gets compartmentalized, to be honest with you, like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
You know, it's laundry. Yeah, he's laundry. And he's got to do what he's got to do for his job. I think there's a lot of that. I will say this. He mentioned the word personal. It was personal yesterday. Picked Titus up from school on the way to the baseball game. 15 minutes trying to explain it. Like, just 15 minutes. And this isn't what are you doing to the kids? Like, no, it's kind of a cool opportunity for me to explain it. But he couldn't. He couldn't grasp it. Mm. Why did he do that? Why did he drop his appeal? What is an appeal? What do you mean? I mean, it was just round and round.
But you're not talking about the morality that was challenging. You were just trying to explain the process.
No,
right?
But it's also like, so did he cheat?
Yes.
Yeah, he cheated.
Okay.
Why did he cheat?
Because he's 35.
Yeah. I mean, you dig into it, and your answer to why he cheated, and Sean's answer, and Mike's answer, and everybody, like, ultimately, why are you cheating there?
But at the end of it, I mean, we always hear this. So you finally got the chance, right? The think of the children argument finally showed up
absolutely.
To you. Was it a valuable lesson that you were able
enormous.
To teach Titus?
It was awesome.
So Robbie Cano did you a favor.
You know, it was kind of long. It was kind of difficult.
He did take 15 minutes out of your life, and I apologize.
Bro, it's 15 minutes going to turn into another 45, another 2 hours, but yes. No, it did.
He did you a favor.
I provided an opportunity, and I'm not alone in that. I'm sure they're all sorts of dads with their sons and daughters yesterday explaining. And ultimately you get to it like, well, why did he cheat?
Yeah.
And ultimately that was the reason for me this becomes personal for me because it was right there. Do I want to do this? Right? Do this HGH. Do I want to do this that teammates were doing to extend my career and do this? And ultimately I could not look in the mirror and say, feel good about it.
That makes sense. I get it. I think that makes sense. But you were also given an opportunity yesterday. I think that's an important point. That they think of the children and the example he's setting. Yeah, it's a bad example for kids. I get it.
Yep.
But it is a parenting opportunity and a chance to kind of teach them something. I also spent nearly an hour yesterday trying to explain to the difference to the kids that this is Laurel.
Like Laurel.
Right?
Laurel.
Laurel.
But Dad,
Laurel.
I hear
Laurel.
Danny. No, it's Laurel. And so I have 45 minutes just trying to explain.
All right, I'm back to Laurel. I've switched. I'm back on Laurel.
Kyle, it's good to have you back on the team. 206-421-3776. Top five caller, Roger. Whoa. Roger in Tacoma. First of all, Roger, before we get your take on this, how important will it be to you to remain in the top five of callers on this show?
Very important. I take it very seriously.
Okay, good. So Brock is building a list. There will be some sort of chalkboard up behind him.
Yeah.
We will keep at all times our top five callers in order.
You laugh, Roger. This is coming. It's ordered on Amazon. It's coming. And it will sit in the studio when we have caller segments.
And is Roger number one right now
Roger,
on the list?
Well, right now he's going in as the number one.
Now, what you have to know, Roger, is that's going to be on Brock's side of the studio. On my side of the studio, we're going to have the worst five callers. I'm going to keep track of the five worst callers that call this show. So you don't want to be on my list, okay?
So you got a lot of expectation here. You better bring it, Roger. What are you feeling when the Cano news comes down?
Pressure's on.
Okay, well, first of all, yes, I am ticked off at Robin the Cano for all the reasons given. But it brings up a bigger issue that I've been wanting to kind of air out for a long time. With the leagues, especially the NFL and Major League Baseball, with so much at stake, millions of dollars in contracts, TV contracts, player contracts, the gate, why they don't have a central, like a drug czar, okay? And he has a team of doctors and physicians, and their only functions are to approve supplements and medications that their players may take and enforce. In turn, each team should have their own physician/pharmacist. And a facility that issues only league-approved supplements and medications. at that point, if the player goes outside of the team structure, the team should have the option to void the remainder of their contract immediately.
Good luck getting that one through the MLB Players Association.
Yeah. Well, listen, they should be on board because this is a blot on their. You can have all kinds of legalese involved. You know, emergency medications, all that stuff needs to be pointed in there.
They will never agree to anything that allows you to void a contract.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that players union, Roger, that players union in baseball, man, it is one powerful. It is a great call.
Roger, you're still number one. That's a great call.
And I will say this, it plays to something you say all the time, Salk, and that is take it out of their hands. When you have people with a vested interest, a players association with a vested interest, a team with a vested interest, right, a league with a vested, take it out of their hands. Get that doping agency. Have an absolute third-party doping agency that is in charge of all of this. Because if it's in the players' hands or the team's hands, what are they going to do? What are they going to do?
I think they're said a lot of really interesting stuff. And I think the idea of only allowing them to take supplements that come directly from that pharmacy, so to speak, is a pretty interesting concept. I hadn't really thought about it, but it makes some sense, right?
That's why he's number one, man. I mean, Roger
brings a fire. Were you surprised to hear that Roger was irritated? I know I get a lot of grief.
This really ticks me off. Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding, Roger. You're almost always ticked off.
One of the bummers in my life is I missed when he came in here. I was like,
you didn't get to meet him?
I was doing the show remote.
He was out of town. He was on the show, but in Nashville.
Roger's an awesome dude. I want him to come in again. Roger, come in again. Let's hang out. 206-421-3776. Take a real quick break. We'll come back with a lot more of your calls, your feelings on Robinson Cano, your feelings on the future of this Mariners season and where it's all going. It's all next. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Brock and Salk,
live from the Alaska Airlines Studios,
streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
One nice thing about the calls today, 206-421-3776, this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness, is we're not getting the excuse makers, which I think is good. Mm. I think that's the, if you're on the air right after this happens, you get a lot of, no, I didn't really do it. It's just a diuretic. It's not a big deal. Thankfully, by the time we came on the air, that's kind of done, right? You don't get the excuse making. You hear guys like TJ Quinn from ESPN, who does this for a living, specifically working in the steroid realm, and say things like this. And you understand this is a legit test here.
Very similar to in a criminal case when someone pleads no contest. You know, you're saying, all right, I'm not saying I'm guilty. I'm just saying I'll take the punishment. It's as good as guilty. And this, in this sense, this is guilty. He's saying it's because of, yeah, I did violate the policy because I had this drug in me. But again, the burden is on baseball to prove that he was trying to use it. That is a tough standard for them.
And yet he still dropped his appeal. So listen to that, Roger. You want a doping agency. Baseball has to come back and they have to prove it.
Right.
It's not only the failed test. They've got to come back then and have the burden of proof.
And they did.
That baseball players union is unbelievably strong.
And in this case, they did. They did prove it enough that Robbie drops the appeal. And hey, you know what's, you know, only 79 left to go, man. We're just 79 games, not 80. Now we're at 79 games and one win already in the books before Robbie comes back.
Have your feelings changed over the last 24 hours? I just found that comment interesting. Mm. You said that you're not getting the excuse makers today. Have you found yourself wavering at all? Is it almost like moving through the stages of grief where at first you are in that denial and bargaining sort of, well, maybe he didn't do this and maybe he did this and maybe there was a stipulation here and now you've moved into
but that denial stage for me when it comes to steroids and PEDs is like 3 seconds. Like, oh no, not Robbie.
Yeah,
all right, it's Robbie. Anyway, let's move on. You don't have to believe that everybody's doing it. What I feel like you have to believe is that you can't be surprised by anybody that's doing it. Is that fair?
I think that is very
and I guess that's really more what I mean. Yes. I don't mean it's rampant where 80% of the league is doing it. That's an exaggeration. I'm not trying to say that when I say that it's the norm.
Used to be.
I just think, I just think you can't ever be surprised.
Correct.
How can in this day and age you be surprised by this?
Correct.
Like, really? You're surprised?
Yeah, and that's where I think, Sean, the lobbyist, I'm with you in Aberdeen a little bit. Like, in the human failure, and especially for a guy getting older. But now, I will be honest. I sent you guys a note last night with a bunch of places this takes me.
Yeah.
Right? All the injuries of the past, right? The groin and the hamstring and the hernias. Is that a product of, you know what, the body wasn't built to be taking some of the stuff he's taken? Or because of those injuries, is he now coming back and, like, I can't afford you know, to be banged up and injured again. I mean, the good news is it creates all those questions.
One of my first concerns was that, like, okay, well, he's 35. This has been helping him succeed. What happens next year when it goes away? But look at Nelson Cruz. Now, maybe he, I don't know. I have no evidence that Nelson's clean other than that he hasn't tested positive for anything, which would be really dangerous for him after after the first failed test. And he's been better since the the suspension than he was before it.
Yep.
D. Gordon certainly hasn't slowed down any and still is in great shape and everything else. So, yeah, I don't know that we know the answer to what Robbie will look like when he comes back from this. 206-421-3776. Grab John, who's in the Tri-Cities. Good morning, John.
Hi. I have a question. You know, I'm kind of indifferent with regard to Cano, but what's the difference between a surgical enhancement and a chemical enhancement with regard to whether or not there is a policy? I mean, I have listened a lot over the years, and there seems to be a lot of pitchers who are taking elective Tommy John surgery to improve their pitching. Why is that all right? But a player taking a chemical to improve his performance is not.
First of all, I appreciate the call, John. It's a worthy question. I don't know that there are as many people electing Tommy John surgery as we thought originally. I don't know that that's the norm. It's not to say that it hasn't happened, but I don't believe that's the norm. And if you read Passan's book on this, The Arm, I don't know. I think the risks associated with that, I don't think that's happening to quite the same extent. I guess at the end of the day, that's just the way the policy is.
Mm-hmm. Or the Israeli cadavers. Remember Javon Walker?
Javon Walker, that Israeli cadaver knee. Had to have it. It's the only way he could compete.
And by the way, we've told that story a few times. It was at the fantasy football thing down at the Emerald Queen, and Clayton was just a machine. People were just peppering him with question after question. What about this? What about this? Oh, what about Javon Walker? Well, Javon Walker, he went to Israel. You see, he's got this Israeli cadaver knee.
I wish that was at Emerald Queen. That's before we did it at Emerald Queen.
Oh, was it?
That was at what was the name of that bar we went down to with the dueling pianos somewhere down south?
88 Keys or something.
88 Keys. That's where we did that. Oh, man, Lumberg won. Yes. 206-421-3776. David's in Tacoma. David, how do you feel about this today?
You know, I feel like we as sports fans are kind of naive. We like to stick our head in the sand. We all love the long ball. We all love the big hits. We all love, the extremeness of the sports. But yet, once we find out somebody's doing performance enhancing drugs of some sort or another, we say, oh, we point the finger and say they're the bad guy. But we all love it. We pay millions of dollars. How many millions of dollars did that the last home run go that Barry Bonds hit was when, 72nd or 73rd home run of the year?
Yeah, I would agree.
So are you just kind of twisted then, David? If you were to characterize where you're at, you find yourself just like torn in a million different ways?
You know, no, I'm mad at professional sports. I think that
for what?
Just like it, kind of on a tangent, it's kind of like marijuana. You know, we all say it's a horrible thing, but
we don't all say that.
Well,
a lot of people don't say that. I mean, the people in this state voted to make it legal. They don't all say that it's a horrible thing.
Well, that's what I'm getting at, is that eventually the state comes out or somebody comes out and says, you know what, since we can't stop it, let's control it. And so why are we trying to stop steroids? Everybody loves them. We all love the performance that our sports players make.
I tend to agree on that, but and David, I've said that before. Like, I don't get bent out of shape about steroids, and I would consider making them legal. But the argument that I've always heard back is, well, then what? Everybody has to do it? Mm-hmm. Now, you're not mandating it, but if you want to compete, that just becomes another thing that you have to do in order to compete with everybody else who is. And we know it's dangerous to the body.
Yeah.
That's probably where the argument against it comes from. I appreciate the phone call, though, and I definitely agree with some of the thought process.
Yeah, well, and I definitely agree with it. It's delusional, right? Well, we're just delusional to think on either side of it. This thing's totally clean. It's perfect. And how can you bring this impurity in or, on the other side of it? So, yeah, I know where I stand on that, and you made my argument right there for me, so I appreciate that.
Hey, I'm here for you.
And aren't those two separate arguments, too? A rule exists, whether it's moral or not. You can fight in the off season. You can worry about it in your next collective bargaining agreement,
yes,
but
true.
For the
These
time being,
the
it
rules.
Does exist.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Absolutely. Aaron is in Edmonds. Good morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning. My reaction to this is initially, no, not Robbie, and then that lasted for all of about 10 seconds, and then I was comforted by the fact that the way they have put together their lineup, specifically by getting D. Gordon in the offseason, gives us the flexibility to be able to weather some of these things. I remember when they got D. Gordon, I heard everybody's talking points. No, Robbie's our guy. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, he's getting older, whether it's an injury or whether it's something like this, they're going to need to have somebody who is a gold glove caliber second baseman to fill in for Robbie at some point. And so I instantly thought back to my off-season thoughts with the pickup of D. Gordon, and I only went into mild annoyance.
Strong call. You're in Nethers receiving votes. Not quite our top five, but you're in Nethers receiving votes.
I don't know. My mind, while I did start immediately turning to the roster construction, didn't go to D. Gordon in second base. It went to the pitching.
No, but
it went to the $11 or $12 million that you could, in theory, now go out and try to spend on some pitching.
Is that a tinfoil hat right there in any way, though?
I've heard some of that.
The body's breaking down. He's been injured every year. He's battled through it. He's one tough guy, but eventually, their time.
Yeah, but I think eventually they'd move him to first base. Not eventually they were planning on him getting busted for steroids.
No, that's fair. But D. Gordon was, you know, the eventuality. It was a win both short-term and long-term.
No, I think that's all true, and I think that's part of the reason they made that move. He's on the team for the next 3 years. But, it sounds crazy, but could you make an argument? I won't try to make it necessarily. Could you make an argument and at least come close to having some success? You probably would never win it. That losing David Phelps was a bigger deal to this team than losing Robbie Cano.
You're going to lose that argument.
I know I'm going to lose the argument, so I'm not going to make it.
Please don't.
But is there enough of an argument to be made that on a team that is as deep as this one offensively, and where Segura does what he does, and Gordon does what he does, and Cruz can come back and hit home runs, and Seager looks like he's getting hot, nearly hit another grand slam yesterday, it's a 3-run double, and Haniger is a breakout candidate, and Ryan Healy's hitting the cover off the ball, and Ben Gamel hasn't started doing anything yet, but we've seen what he's capable of, that you can survive without Robinson Cano for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Your bullpen is not deep, it's thin. And the moment David Phelps went down for the year, you started relying on Juan Nicasio almost exclusively, along with Vincent in the eighth, and he stinks right
now.
Juan
is not good.
No, he's been awful, and he was awful again yesterday.
Come on, Juan.
So I'll ask you again. I'm not going to win the argument, but if I tried to make that argument with you for a while, do you think that I could keep it going long enough for you to listen?
I mean, I would listen, but you know and I know. In the short term, you can weather this. Over the long term, he's the number three hitter. He is a bona fide Hall of Fame caliber player in the middle of that lineup on a daily basis, and how that sets the table for everybody else, critical piece.
Man, I could take calls on this for the rest of the day. Unfortunately, we're going to run here for a little bit. We'll come back to the calls, I promise, after Brent Musburger. Coming up next, we got good news, bad news, no news. God, there's something we have to put in there, and I keep meaning to tell you guys about it. It's really interesting news, and I keep forgetting what it is. I'm going to see if I can come up with it during the break. I'll tell you guys about it for good news, bad news, no news. We'll do that, and then we'll talk to Brent Musburger, who still probably has a better memory than me. It's next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Kind of excited to talk to Brent Musburger coming up here in 15 minutes. A legend. Talk a little gambling news with him. That was the big news yesterday before Robinson Cano knocked that right off the front page. So we'll talk to Brent. Plus a little bit of Mariners history with Brent Musburger. Excited to play that as well. All right, that's coming up in 15. We'll get back to your calls after that right now. The news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The M's plan to move D. Gordon back to second base during Robinson Cano's absence.
Howdy news.
I can't say that's good news. It's good news that you've got a gold glover. I just can't say in the scheme of things that's good news. That was not your plan. And it starts to burden other parts of your team and ask guys to do things that were, A, not in the plans, and B, that they have never done. So, bad news.
Yeah, I'll agree. I'll say it's the right thing to do at this point, but I don't think it's good news. I mean, you don't want to... You acquired him with the goal of putting him in center field. It's nice that you have this option. And I think it's good news that we'll see a little more of Guillermo Heredia in the short term, but long term, I just don't want him to be exposed to somebody who can't play every day. So, yeah, it's not great news, unfortunately, but it's what you got to do.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Celtics took a 2-0 lead on the Cavs in the Eastern Conference.
I don't know, Howdy. You may have to lay off
the Warriors in the
NBA. You are
finals.
Two games away from needing to pressure wash Brock's deck.
True that.
I don't know, man. I got to tell you.
Oh, come on! Don't you do that,
Howdy?
You just want me to pressure wash that. That's the only reason why you believe this is even remotely possible.
I mean, yes, I do. I do want to see you have to pressure wash Brock's deck, but Is it possible the Celtics are enough of a team and Brad Stevens is a good enough coach that somehow he's tricked his players into listening to him instead of each other?
I am so disappointed.
Is it possible? I'm asking if
you
it's
are
possible.
You are a sheep.
I know.
You're a lemming. You're just like everyone else now.
I'll admit, I'm at least curious to see if they can beat LeBron.
Unbelievable.
I don't think it'll happen, but I'm curious.
Good news. They've only got to win two of the next five. Very doable. Go Celtics.
Good news, bad news, no news.
New York sports reporter Joel Sherman says the Yankees had long suspected Robinson Cano was doing steroids.
No news.
Lying news.
Suck news.
As usual, the New York media and the New York Yankees are just lying about this stuff. That's not true. This is revisionist history, as always, and I should have suspected that they would do something like this. The Yankees, of course. Oh, we never wanted Robbie back. This is the reason we didn't bid as much as the Mariners did. We had always suspected maybe he was a PED user. You liars. You filthy liars. They tried to trade for him. They've tried to trade for him since he's been here in Seattle. Just because it didn't happen doesn't mean that they didn't try. You liars, and you know it. Typical.
Good news, bad news, no news.
That's no news, by the way.
Have you remembered what?
No.
What?
I can't remember. I'll think of it later.
Michigan State University reached a $500 million settlement with victims assaulted by Dr. Larry Nassar.
Brock?
This does not fit. This does not fit in any of these three.
I would agree.
This is, yeah.
Does not fit neatly into a category.
No, it's
the whole story is, again, it's almost too awful for words, and I know it's our job to try to find words for it. I'm happy that the victims and their families will receive a gigantic settlement. I hope it brings them some measure of peace based on everything they've had to go through in this whole thing. This should not take Michigan State off the hook, nor should it take U.S. Gymnastics or anybody else who has in any way allowed this monster to do his thing. So I'm glad that the victims will be taken care of, and I hope that their lives are immeasurably easier than they've been. I don't know that their money will ever fully erase the scars that they'll carry with them.
Yeah, I cannot add to that. That is 100%. How I feel, and very well said.
Good news, bad news, no news.
PGA pro Lucas Glover's wife was arrested after she attacked him for playing poorly at the Players' Championship.
Oh, funny. This is my favorite story.
Is this true news?
Yes.
Do we know any of the other backstory?
Is
it Laurel Yanni?
She's really. Both he and his mom.
Oh, really? Oh, why was she mad at his mom about it?
What? She raised a bad golfer.
What is going on?
So Lucas Glover's 38 years old. I mean, he's sort of been on the tour for a while. It's not true anymore. He's not really all that good, right? I mean, he's sort of like hanging on the tour. So he's probably, you know, he needs to do well at these things in order to feed his family still. It's not like, you know, Jordan Spieth had a bad, you know, had a bad 18, and it ended up costing him like a couple hundred thousand dollars. And for him, it's like, yeah, all right, well, he'll be just fine. Lucas Glover needs the money. His wife's mad at him.
What do we mean she attacked? Like physically tried to attack?
Yeah, I think it was physical, right?
What?
Was it not a physical attack?
That's bad news.
She was arrested.
Oh, yeah, it sounded that's to bad. Me like he was. They were in an argument, the husband and wife. Yeah. The mom stepped in to try and cool it off.
That's bad.
Have you seen the mugshot of him?
That's bad.
Have you seen the mugshot? I mean, she looks mad. Not there. Hold on. Where'd the mugshot go? That's her. She looks mad. She looks really, really
mad.
Yeah,
that's really
bad. Can you imagine playing with that kind of pressure? Like, it's one thing to go out and you have to play with the pressure of the PGA Tour, but another one when if you lose, your wife attacks you physically.
No, I don't like that. That's bad news. Bad news. Bad news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Suns won the NBA draft lottery and will draft number one for
the first
time.
Yeah, this is great news. Oh, I'm sorry, buddy. Sorry,
somebody.
No. Go ahead. Sorry, my bad.
Hey, why don't you take it away? You take it away. Bro.
Way to interrupt her.
Nice job. I'm just kidding.
Way to interrupt
Lydia. That was
the
end of it.
First time ever, unless they trade it. That's good news. I'm happy for Gambo. I'm happy for our sister station down there in Phoenix. They got all sorts of fun stuff to talk about, and they've got a long list of guys to. Able to pick DeAndre Ayton, you taking the 7-footer from Arizona that we got to watch that looked like an absolute man child? Because I am, so don't screw that pick up. Good news,
yeah. I mean, no news that it's the Suns. Somebody was gonna have to win the lottery, it just happened to be them. It could have been Sacramento, it could have been, I don't know, somebody else, Atlanta, Chicago. Bad news for all the teams that tanked and didn't win.
Yep.
Sorry, better luck next year. All right, that's what we got. I know there's one more, but I can't think of what it is. I'm sorry, man.
What was it?
I don't know.
This is killing me.
It's hurting me, too. Trust me.
You know what you need to do?
What? Write these things down.
One of two things. You can either write it down, or you can just speak it into your phone. Little video thing. Do what Chris Peterson does when he has little details, little things. You'll see him talking to his phone on the practice field.
You're supposed to have that pen and pad out anyway because you're supposed to be tracking, this or that, which is better, all day long. We want to know.
Yankees officials never said it out loud because it's not the kind of sentiment that gets publicized. Instead, they offered many explanations for why they never went all out to retain Robinson Cano. But one reason, the conveniently not broadcast, was that Melky Cabrera and Alex Rodriguez already had been suspended for their association with illegal performance-enhancing drugs.
They knew.
And those were Cano's best friends on the Yankees. And while no one can be found guilty by association, the Yanks were apprehensive enough about the tightness of that group to wonder if Cano would ever be the next domino to fall.
It makes sense. Yankees always a step ahead of everybody else. They're always a step ahead of everybody else.
How convenient for them.
Yeah, they really are.
It's so convenient they never said that to anybody until he actually got busted. And then they were finally, after years of embarrassment and being ripped by their fans for not doing more on Robbie Cano, found a little out clause and were finally able to say, well, we always knew this was a possibility. You liars. Such filthy liars. All right.
Mike is really angry.
Not mad
He's
now.
As mad as he can be.
I don't sound mad.
No, you don't.
You're making that up. That's not true.
I was kind of mad yesterday.
About what?
When Nelly got hit twice. So I think we got a little something in the 9 o'clock hour for that, too.
If Nelly hadn't been hobbling around, I'm pretty sure he would have actually finally charged the mound yesterday.
You think so?
After the day he had. Man, I got in at 3:30. I was up at 7 o'clock. I've been hit twice. Robinson Cano got suspended after breaking his hand because he was hit by a pitch. Yeah, I would think he would have every right to be furious at the world, let alone the guy who had just hit him with the second pitch. So we'll address that right after we talk to the man, the myth, the legend. Brent Musburger will join us next. We'll be looking live at Brent in Vegas coming up on Brock and Salk.